Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's noon, which means it's time to go blitzing on Grant and Danny. Let's get it started on the gridiron. Multiple teams in one segment. Redskins are first with our own beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. Craig, Sunday, the Giants' final home game at FedEx Field. It seems like we already know who's been placed on injured reserve, but are there any still up-in-the-air injury questions for Washington?
Yeah, the secondary is actually a huge, huge issue right now. Landon Collins looks like he's going to be all right. He was back out on the practice field today with an Achilles issue, but I guess it was precautionary. That's what they said. You know, they always would try to make it as precautionary, and then sometimes you find out it wasn't so precautionary. But with Landon practicing today, it looks like that was indeed the case, and he'll be good to go. But both starting corners are going to probably miss this game. Fabian Moreau and Quentin Dunbar both came out of last week's game with hamstring issues, and both of them have been working either with a trainer or not at all in Dunbar's case. And so they're probably out this weekend, which means that who knows who's going to play corner. Obviously, Jimmy Moreland's at one. Danny Johnson's out there as an option. They've brought in a couple guys off the street last week. So we'll see if those guys are ready to play. And then obviously Josh Norman is still floating around as a possibility, but they really would prefer to play those young guys and give those young guys a chance. So we'll see who winds up playing on Sunday.
Craig, Terry McLaurin is in the good pile. Like, I've got it. I've seen the sample. I know what I'm getting. I'm very excited about him, his future here. Like, lock that up, put that away. Is there another guy that could emerge as a future staple in this offense in terms of a weapon? What's Kelvin Harmon's ceiling? What's Steven Sims? They got a lot on the line, I think, these next couple weeks. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think Sims is more likely that guy. He continues to prove he can handle a full repertoire of plays. Like, his physical abilities are going to separate him always. His ability to not only be quick and separate as a route runner and make people miss with the ball, but he has got top-end speed, too, as we've seen on some of these kickoff returns. He's a 4-3 guy, so the ability to run away from people and make those big plays is different than, say, like a Jamison Crowder, who probably had a better nuance, definitely, especially by the time he left here. Had a better nuanced understanding of offense and route running and things, but Jamison was more of a 4-5 guy, 4-6 guy who was really quick in short areas but couldn't run away from you like Sims could. That skill set that Steven has will translate to any offense if used properly. Harmon's a little bit different story. He's very good at what he's asked to do here. He's a big physical point of attack guy. He blocks his tail off, so he's great for a run-based team. He can come down because he's so big and physical and do some inline blocking, kind of how the other teams will use some of their tight ends. And he's obviously a very skilled possession guy in terms of receiver. But if a different offense wants a different type of receiver, so let's say a new head coach comes in with a different system, he could very much see his role change dramatically, and there's probably guys that are better fits. But he's a good NFL football player who for sure can be, at the very least, a rotation player moving forward, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it would be here under certain coaching schemes.
Paul Richardson's on injured reserve to end a second straight season here in D.C. Really disappointing 2 years. Have we reached the end of the road, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's always a chance that a new coach can come in and be like, no, we want that guy. But it's not like Paul's a bad dude. It's not like he's not well-liked around here. It just hasn't worked. He's been hurt. He was hurt a ton in Seattle. He was hurt in college. It's just hard to play at his size in the NFL. You know, it's a lot of trauma that you take, and not a lot of muscle and to cover up the bone. So he's taken obviously 2 rough years here. He's super disappointed about it, but I tend to think that the way his contract is structured, this we've seen the last of Paul Richardson in Washington.
Craig, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
You got it. You too, guys.
All right, man. We'll see you. Let's talk some puck, please, Tommy. Uncle Rob Carlin joins us. And listen, the Caps have a back-to-back, which is a good thing, because they got to be in Newark, New Jersey tonight. And then you get the hell out of Newark, New Jersey as soon as you possibly can, just to stay safe, and you come back home. Preview the weekend for us, Uncle Rob.
Yeah, I think the start with the Devils, I think what they learned against Columbus is don't take this team for granted. You know, it's a team that lost seven straight, that pulled Taylor Hall out of the lineup, that sat, you know, wondering what was going to happen next, and then they pulled the deal, and now they've won a couple of games in a row. It's not pretty hockey, but they've won a couple of games, so they're gaining a little confidence. Young kids are getting a chance. So, you know, you can't take them for granted, especially with Tampa looming tomorrow night. So, and Boston after that before the holiday break. So, you know, to me, this is a very important game, because what you don't want is a bad, ugly loss to Columbus compounded by a bad, ugly loss to a terrible Devils team. And now you got to go face two elite squads. Even though Tampa is struggling, whatever, that's still a ton of talent. So to me, this is an important game, and they're going with Samsonov tonight, Holtby tomorrow, which I think tells you that that game tomorrow night is very important as well. So it's a big weekend.
Systematically, schematically, I guess, you know, getting into the phases of their game, what needs to improve? What would you want ironed out here around the holiday?
You know, I don't know. They've won 8 of their last 10. They're the best team in hockey and have been all year. You know, the penalties are an issue. That's something that has to be cleaned up. It's like fumbling in football. How do you get a team to stop fumbling? How do you get a team to stop taking penalties? That's just sort of what they're doing right now. So you want to clean that up. You can't keep putting yourself in position where you have to kill off. And it seems like, Grant, we've sat in the room and watched these games together. It seems like at times you're like, that's like 3 or 4 in a row. It's not just one spaced out. You know, and eventually that stuff catches up to you. You don't want to do that against the Tampas and Bostons of the world. So if they can figure out a way to clean that up, other than that, you know, let's not put too much stock into a bad loss or a couple of bad losses to a Columbus team that seems to have their number matchup-wise for whatever reason.
Bunch of guys score for the Capitals. They got a bunch of guys in double digits in goals. Of the non-double-digit scorers, right, who needs to put the puck in the net more than he's doing right now, in your opinion?
Richard Ponick, period, the end. They brought him in here to not replace Brett Connolly, but to at least fill some of that void. And look, they're lucky that goal scoring has not been the issue. We've talked about this around the room, that, you know, the sort of growing thought of, well, put Travis Boyd in there, he's playing great, you know, pull Ponick out of the lineup, that doesn't really change your goal scoring from that spot. Travis Boyd isn't a guy who's going to come in and pump in 10, 12, 14 goals, at least hasn't shown that yet. But they brought him in, gave him a contract for 4 years. They expected double-digit goals, and it's just not coming. Look, he does a lot of other things well. He's been really good on the PK, but you need that guy to get going, because eventually they're going to need, like we saw in the Cup run, other guys to score goals, and they need Ponick to be one of those other guys.
Thank you, Rob. Much appreciated, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
Rob Carlin, NBC Sports Washington, on the Capitals. Well, Grant and Danny, you're listening to The Fan. Let's go one big question. Every NFL game this weekend. Next. It's a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. You're listening to Grant and Danny. There are just 2 weekends of regular season NFL action left. And then what looks like it's going to be a fairly disappointing weekend of matchups to open the playoffs, because there's a Grand Canyon-sized gap between the really good teams, and then the teams are going to sneak into the playoffs this year. But eventually, when you get to round 2 and beyond, it's going to be a lot of fun watching this postseason in the NFL.
Generally, that's the way that it goes, right? That first weekend is a bit of a teaser, and then the second weekend is where the actual adults are. You get rid of the Texans.
But I think this year you have more of the game where
fraudulence.
The really quality team that could win the Super Bowl is playing a team that doesn't belong.
Right. But, you know, you get rid of that, as I was going to say, you get rid of the T.J. Yates quarterback Houston team, or against Oakland on their 7th quarterback, and those guys are gone. Then the adults play. Every once in a while it surprises us, though. You get that team that nobody thought could do it, that beats, you know, an outside Super Bowl contender, or a 6 seed upsets a 3 seed or something like that. But you're right. For the most part, we get kind of chalk here opening weekend. Then we get into the nitty gritty.
All right, let's go around the NFL with one big question for every NFL game this weekend. We will start with your triple header on Saturday. Game number one, a 1 o'clock kickoff tomorrow afternoon. The Houston Texans and Tampa Bay Bucks. Texans are 9-5. Tampa Bay's won 4 in a row after starting 3-7 to get back to 500. My one big question is, will the Texans win their division? If they win on Saturday, they clinch the AFC South. A loss and the door is wide open for Tennessee again going into a Week 17 division title game. So, are the Texans pretenders or contenders? We're going to know come 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
My question, similar lines. Can you avoid the trap game? Tampa Bay ain't bad. They're not good, but they ain't bad either. They'll put up some points. They'll throw it on you. Houston secondary's been banged up. We've seen them give up some huge totals to teams like Denver. Drew Locke threw for 1 million yards against them, etc. You're already looking ahead to what could be a divisional ultimate matchup against Tennessee. Can you avoid the trap game and handle your business this week against Tampa?
Game two tomorrow is the Bills and the Patriots. Buffalo's in Foxborough in New England to take on the top team in the AFC East. A Buffalo win, and they're both 11-4 going into the final weekend of the season. The Bills will have scaled the mountain and caught the Patriots for the moment. And at that point, it would all come down to a tiebreaker. Tom Brady knows how significant this game is.
Yeah, it's a big game for both teams. So, gonna go out there and try to play our best. This is a great team that's been playing really well all year. They got a great defense, and it's gonna be a tough challenge.
My question, very simple here, maybe oversimplified: are the Bills for real? I know you can beat the Steelers and Devlin Hodges when he throws four picks just barely. Can you beat New England on the road?
My question is even simpler: is it over? The end of this reign of terror. Can you stake the heart of Dracula? Can you finally kill the unkillable beast that is Brady and Belichick and a cast of misfits? Because it's the Patriot way, bro, in Foxborough. If they lose, it might be a significant end of dynasty moment.
Nightcap tomorrow night, Rams 49ers. Why did I say that so weird? I said 49ers.
Were you going like Boston there or going old school?
I don't know what I was doing. It was a weird accent. I was being a character. I think it might have been the Newsies, Tom. I think I was a bustling tub with boiling water.
A
Saturday
of
night,
yeah,
with the mayor's daughter. Look at me. Rams, 49ers, 11-3 San Francisco. Can the Rams keep their playoff hopes alive? Will they go into Week 17 with a shot?
San Francisco, who are you going to be? You be the team that kicked everybody's butt the first half of the season, or a group that's finished, that's 500 here in the second half so far? They're 3-3 in the second half of the season. Let's go.
Another question might be about that 49ers defense, which has not been good lately.
All of a sudden,
29
right?
points to the Falcons, 46 points to the Saints. Kyle Shanahan still believes in his group.
I got a lot of confidence in our D. I mean, they've earned that. You know, I know we had two, gave away two scores here these last 2 weeks. I thought we let them hang around way too long. In Atlanta, you know, we were up 19-10, and I think we could have finished that there on the last play and given it to him, back to him with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. But we didn't, and let a good quarterback and a Hall of Fame receiver, NFL MVP, have too many chances, and that's what happens. And a week before, I thought Drew Brees made some pretty good plays also. We definitely can play better, but I have no concerns about those guys not being able to get the job done.
Giants Redskins begins the Sunday voyage through the NFL. 1 o'clock at FedEx Field. It's a race to four wins. 3-11 versus 3-11. My question is, who's going to be in the driver's seat for the number two pick in the draft? Who wants Chase Young? Also, Daniel Jones versus Dwayne Haskins. First time these two guys have ever started against one another. Remember, Haskins came off the bench when Keenum got hurt in the first matchup with the Giants, threw three interceptions, including a pick six, by far the worst we've ever seen him, and I believe his first NFL action. Now they start against one another. Who is going to be the leader in the race for Chase Young?
Whose future is brighter? Right now, the arrow, or early on in the season, the arrow was way trending up for the Giants, even though they lost 1 million games in a row and luck boxed their way into a win against Tampa. It's still, well, they're way better off than are the Redskins. Yep, here they are in the exact same spot in the who's going to pick second bowl, right, with Miami having a chance to win that game. And quarterbacks that, you know, again, where the arrow was trending. Daniel Jones has kind of wavered, has been hurt. He's sort of hanging out where he was. Arrow starting to trend up for Dwayne Haskins. Hasn't matched Jones's production yet, but this will be a telling weekend.
They'll also kick off at 1 o'clock in Nashville. Saints and the Titans. New Orleans trying to get to 12-3. Question for them is, are you going to be the one seed in the NFC? The Titans still have an outside chance to win the AFC South. They need a little bit of help. Are you a playoff team? They could also get in as a wild card if they surpass Pittsburgh, but they must beat the Saints. Can you beat an excellent Saints team? Cam Jordan talking Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback the Saints are preparing for.
He's brought a spark back to the offense. You know, they're clicking. They're playing well. Derrick Henry's, you know, creating these explosive runs. Tannehill's extending plays, you know, finding Brown, A.J. Brown. Is that there's a lot of Browns in the league at this point. Maybe I want out of the league. When you talk about what their offense is able to do, they're, like I said, they're clicking at a high level right now, and this is something that, you know, we have to be aware of and move forward and execute our game plan.
Cam Jordan's great, by the way.
He's awesome.
What a
so
player.
Good. He's so good. This is Drew Brees' second game out of a dome this year, if you don't count his like first quarter against the Rams where he ended up getting hurt.
Because he missed the five games.
Because he missed the five games. And over the 2 years, he hasn't played very many outside. That's all. That's my big question. Can you do it? Can you put up the same kind of numbers? Can you? I'm not saying 29 for 30 is what's expected, but can you have similar kind of production against a good Tennessee team?
Steelers, Jets, 8-6 Pittsburgh is playoff bound if they can just handle their business. Meanwhile, the New York Jets are 5-9. It has not been the year they anticipated. Remember, spent a lot of money, brought
so
in a lot of good players this offseason. Brought in Adam Gase coming over from Miami after being fired. One of those players was Le'Veon Bell. He gets to play the Steelers team that he was at odds with forever. He says there's no added energy for him leading up to kickoff.
No, honestly, I don't even look at it like that. I just kind of go out there and play football. Each and every game I play, I try to, you know, give it my all, you know. So, if I can find an extra, you know, squeeze in there, you know, I'm going to try. But, you know, it is what it is with me. I always try to go out there and give my best.
Major draft ramifications in the game that kicks off next segment. But real quick, your question on Steelers-Jets?
Can the Steelers keep hanging around? I mean, this is almost over for them, right? With the Duck Hodges and all the Band-Aid and the tape and the spittle and the bubble gum. They've pretty much gotten themselves out of it, but they're still finding a way to hang on. They're still on the hunt. Is this elimination weekend?
I want to know how Devlin Hodges responds to a terrible game. Everything came easily. They didn't put anything on his plate. He didn't have to throw it a whole lot. He didn't have to make any mistakes. He was Mr. Not Turn the Ball Over. Then he threw four picks when they needed him to step up. Can he respond? We'll kick it off with Bengals, Dolphins, and who's going to get the top pick in the draft, perhaps, next segment. But there are some other gems, including Lamar Jackson, back in action, and a division championship game being played as well. In our preview with burning questions of Week 16 in the NFL on Grant and Danny. Get back into one big question for every NFL game in just a moment. Quick lay of the land, though. At 12:45... we've got the updated NFL quarterback rankings. We've been giving them to you over the last few weeks. And Dwayne Haskins made the biggest jump of any quarterback this week.
Hey, baby.
Remember, he was coming in at 31 out of 32 going into play against the Eagles. Had a breakout game, finally put four quarters together and looked sharp doing it. So how high on the list did he climb? We will tell you coming up in about 11 minutes. But let's get back to our trek around the National Football League. Week 16, we'll start you off with the Bengals in Miami to take on the Dolphins. This is the worst game on the schedule, perhaps, if it's not Washington and New York. 1-13 Cincinnati, 3-11 Miami. But here's what you got to know. Both of these teams need to lose for draft positioning. The Bengals are almost assuredly going to pick first. Miami, if they lose this weekend, we'll have the number two pick in the draft. If they win, could fall to the back end of the top five. Andy Dalton coming off of a performance he'd like to forget, trying to string some completions together for a Bengals team that has just been awful.
Yeah, you know, that's not what, you know, we're even thinking about. I think for us, it's, you know, we've got two games left and we want to win both these games. And so, you know, regardless of who's out there, regardless of, you know, who we're going against, we're doing everything we can to win.
Who's the worst? It's that simple for this one. Who's really the worst? Miami was frisky for a minute. Remember, they had a couple wins string together in there, and they looked like a team that just didn't want to roll over with some Ryan Fitzpatrick magic. Who is really the worst right now this minute?
Is Miami actually having an impressive season? That's my big question. People were talking about them going 0-16 and 1-15. They will be en route to 4-12 if they beat Cincinnati under Brian Flores. Sounds crazy, but is this actually a pretty good year? They had no talent. They got rid of anyone who was any good. And they might actually win four games. Dateline Indianapolis. Panthers and Colts, 1 o'clock kickoff, NFC versus AFC here. Carolina's going with Will Greer, who will make his first NFL start, drafted in the fourth round out of West Virginia. This was a guy that a lot of Redskins fans kind of circled.
I liked
and
him
said,
a lot.
Hey, if you want to take a mid-round quarterback and not take one early, maybe Will Greer would be intriguing. He was older. He's already married with, like, kids. But he's awful in the preseason, takes the back seat to Kyle Allen, who started over him over the last several weeks. Allen threw so many picks, they're tired of seeing him. So they've turned things over to Will Greer. So my big question is, what will he look like?
My big question is, what the hell happened to these teams? Both had good records.
Andrew Luck retired?
Well, the Colts were 5-2, playing okay. Nothing special about what they did, but they were competitive. They've gone 1-6 since then. The Carolina Panthers, with Kyle Allen coming off the bench, looked like an NFL team, throwing the football around a little bit, spreading out to a couple of receivers, the Christian McCaffrey show. They're 1-7 in their last 8 games. What the hell happened to these teams? A combined 2-13 this part of the year.
Will Greer on his debut.
A little more attention to detail. Just being able to get the reps, you can watch tape in a different way and, you know, kind of fine-tune things that you're actually doing. So that's been good to get those reps and then watch the film and be able to say, I need to, you know, do that a little bit better because it's you doing it. So it's easier to kind of correct yourself watching that film.
In Cleveland at 1 o'clock, the Browns and the Ravens will kick off. Cleveland, you'll remember, was the last team to beat 12-2 Baltimore. That feels like forever ago now.
Crazy.
Because it was. Now, the Browns have had a really disappointing year. They're 6-8. My question for Cleveland, can they avoid a losing season? Are they going to all basically jump off of this sinking ship? Are they going to grab buckets and try to save Freddie Kitchens' job? As far as Baltimore goes, will we get an epic Lamar Jackson performance that cements him as the MVP once and for all?
Is Cleveland not quite ready yet? I think the answer we know now is yes. I ultimately thought they'd be 7-9 before the season started. How we got here, though, is dramatically different than what ended up happening. Listen, they had a rough start to the season because they had a rough schedule to start the season. They are 4-2 in their last 6 games. Nothing terrible about that. So with all the chaos and all the things surrounding, can Baker Mayfield put a nice cement stamp that he is not a huge regression victim in year number 2?
Jaguars, Falcons, both 5-9. Gardner Minshew trying to prove he deserves a chance at an open competition with Nick Foles going into next year. For Jacksonville, can Minshew be so good that the new coach even gives him a look? I think based on the contract you gave Nick Foles, he's got to be your starter to begin next season. Also, can Jacksonville move on with all of this turmoil of this week where they fired Tom Coughlin? We found out Doug Marrone's going to be out, and they had all of the reports about NFLPA complaints about their players' medical treatment.
Jacksonville's a tire fire. Falcons have actually played pretty well, 4-2 in their last 6 ball games. Jacksonville started off okay. They were 4-4, and now they're 5-9. You can do the math on that one. Two teams trending in the exact opposite direction, I would say. Neither going anywhere this year, but Atlanta's deciding whether to keep the band together or not. Jacksonville, as you already talked about, blowing it up.
Julio Jones looking for another big performance. Looking for win number 6.
Yeah, we play for the coaches, but at the same time, you got to play for yourself. You're a man. You got to be responsible. It's our job, is, you know, good or bad, whatever you start, you got to finish it. So, like, I always had that in me to do, and I'm going to continue to do that. We can be, I don't know what, how many, whatever is that right now, 13 or 14, or whatever it is, whatever we could have been at this point, I'm still going to do the same thing. Win, lose, or draw, you got to still bring the same stuff to the game and to work every day. And, you know, it's about who you are as a person.
Let's go rapid fire with a couple of these stinkers before we get to the good games.
Shoot.
Raiders, Chargers, 6-8 Oakland, 5-9 Chargers in L.A.
Raiders free falling. Can you stop the bleeding?
I'll go Chargers. Phil Rivers, are you done? Do you have football left in you? He's looked really bad lately. Lions, 3-10-1. Broncos, 5-9. They're in Denver. This is a 4:05 kick.
I want to see more Drew Lock. What are you? We got a couple nice games. Can you do more?
Yeah, he looked bad last weekend in the snow. Couldn't do anything. They couldn't move the ball. I think that was just bad weather game.
You can give him a pass if he follows it up with a good one.
Absolutely. Can you get back on the good foot? Cardinals, 4-9-1. Seahawks, 11-3. Looking for win number 12. A chance to be the one seed in the NFC. My question is actually about Arizona, though. They've been frisky. Are you now good enough? They got a bad record, I get that, but are you good enough to hang with really good teams on the road if they playing Seattle close, that would be telling to me in year one with Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
Seattle, can you get fat on a pass rush? Not something they do particularly well most weeks. Kyler Murray is, obviously incredibly athletic, fast, quick, tough to bring down, one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL.
All right, let's get to the NFC East championship game of sorts. Cowboys win. They are NFC East title winners. Eagles win. They go into Week 17 controlling their own destiny. Mm-hmm. They'd have to lose. Cowboys would have to win. And at that point, an 8-8 division winner would come out of the Eastern Division. Amari Cooper says Cowboys don't have to be reminded of what's on the line.
Yeah, I mean, we had a really good practice today. We know the importance of this game. We know exactly where we are. But the challenging part about that is, you know, I'm sure Philadelphia, they do too. You know, so that's what I think that's what makes the game so big and important. Just because both teams know exactly where we are and what we have to do. And we both have the same goals.
Question for Dallas, was that performance against the Rams legit, or was it just a lucky good week where everything went your way? For the Eagles, you're not as good as Dallas, but can you beat them and have an actual shot to be one of the worst division winners in the last several years?
Question for Dallas is, who are you? Who are you? Are you the group that couldn't do much at all for most of the game against the Bears? Are you the group that Buffalo beat down a couple weeks ago that only managed 9 points against the Patriots? Or are you the best team in the NFL, which was what you were this past weekend? You looked incredible against the Rams. Who shows up? For the Eagles, to me, this is a Carson Wentz story. Can you make chicken salad out of having Greg Ward as your number one receiver?
My Kansas City Chiefs. I'm now claiming them.
Chiefs Paulson.
10-4. The Chicago Bears 7-7. Maybe that's a kiss of death for Kansas City. Because that was Browns Paulson at one point in time. They're at Soldier Field. Sunday Night Football, 8:20 East Time kick for Pat Mahomes and the boys. What's your question?
Is Kansas City's defense for real? Can they start not only beating up bad opponents, but really hammering them, throttling them down? You look at the last 3 weeks. Now, granted, these offenses are not juggernauts. Chargers, 17 points. Raiders, 9 points. Patriots, 16 points. And Broncos, 3 in the snow. Can you shove it on a bad offense?
Is this defense rounding into playoff form? I'm kind of along the same lines here. I know this offense can win a Super Bowl. Is this defense good enough to shut elite offenses down in the playoffs? We may not learn that on Sunday because the Bears have had their own problems throwing the football with Mitch Trubisky. Matt Nagy's group eliminated, and he says that makes these next two games difficult.
We have two games left. We do. We want to win them. And so regardless of whether we won or lost the previous week, it's that same mindset. I think that's what will help us in the long run. If there's one thing we look back at, it's how we handle 1 year, right, last year, how we handled winning. And now how do you handle being in a position where you lost a couple games and you didn't do what you wanted to do? How do you handle that? And that's what we're trying to make sure that we fix.
Stay in the NFC North for the final game of the weekend. And that is a Monday night kickoff in Minneapolis where the Packers can win the NFC North or the Vikings can pull even with Green Bay going into Week 17 at 11-4. For the Packers, are you the cream of the crop in that division?
Are you the best?
For the Vikings, Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football with no Dalvin Cook. Can you be the man and shut a lot of people up for an hour until they move the goalposts on you?
Yeah, you touched on mine. Green Bay, you don't get enough respect. Do you deserve it? And Minnesota, can Kirk Cousins finally pipe some of these people down that like to cherry pick certain things where he didn't play well?
Burning questions. Week 16 in the NFL. Where does Dwayne Haskins come in on the updated quarterback index ratings after his breakout performance? We'll tell you next on Grant and Danny. And for real sports fans, we're Grant and Danny. All right, so stop me when you hear something crazy, and we'll work our way to Dwayne Haskins, who grew a lot in this matchup with Philadelphia this past week and who climbed higher on the quarterback index than any quarterback did this past week. But a brief refresher course. This is the NFL.com's quarterback index. They re-rank all the quarterbacks in the NFL. This is based on the season they're having this year. It's four different dudes who vote on, kind of work this analysis, and then they put together their list after every single week. So just as an example, Tom Brady, we all agree, is one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived, right?
Nothing will change if he throws nothing but incomplete passes the next 2 weeks. That doesn't change.
He's 14th this season.
Right.
Feels about right, by the way. I would even maybe put him lower than that. He's been terrible for the last several weeks, but he's 14th in the NFL. So this is just based on this season. Not a whole lot more to it than that.
Right.
Lamar Jackson is their number one quarterback in the NFL right now.
Feel MVP good about of the that? League, yeah.
How could he not be? 66% completions through 14 games, 2,800 passing yards isn't a whole lot, but 8 yards per attempt, 33 touchdowns and 6 picks. Then you add to that that he's rushed for 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. You know what's amazing that no one ever talks about? I'd have to look up how many times he's fumbled. He's only lost one fumble this year.
It's very Griffin-esque in that magical 2012 year where he fumbled 14 times, whatever it was, and lost one or two.
Is it like that, do you think?
It has to be,
right?
Give
me a number on fumbles this year. I'm going to guess.
Let me see if I can find it for you.
It would seem like it'd be a high total.
Because you're a quarterback. You have the ball in your hands every play.
And you're also running all the time. But to only lose one, it should be like 3 fumbles. Now, if it's Griffin-ish and it's like 12 fumbles and you've lost one, then that's just complete luck.
7 fumbles.
It's not that bad.
It's not much.
Russell Wilson is their number 2 quarterback. That might be a tad high for me. They've got Mahomes 3, Breeze 4, Watson 5. I would probably have Mahomes or Breeze if I did a little more digging higher. Drew Breeze did miss a bunch of times, so maybe that works against him. But Russell Wilson, to me, is an MVP candidate. 67% complete. He's going to pass for 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns and 5 picks compared to Mahomes. 23 touchdowns and 4 picks. Remember, Mahomes missed 2 games this year, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got no problem Wilson, too. He's my number 2 on the MVP ballot. He's having, to me, the second-best season, just orchestrating magic each week with a mediocre Seattle offense outside of him.
So you just heard the top 5.
Yep.
They have Kirk Cousins just outside of it, the number 6 quarterback in the NFL this year. A 14 games for Cousins, 71% completed, 3,400 passing yards, so he may not get to 4,000 this year, which by his standards is way down in terms of yardage. But obviously they run the ball so much with Dalvin Cook. His yards per attempt and air yards really, really high. They take a lot of shots down the field, 8.4. 25 passing touchdowns and just 5 picks. Cousins a 5-to-1 ratio. 63 rushing yards. He is not Mahomes.
No, he's not.
He is not Deshaun Watson. Just 1 rushing touchdown. One of the knocks on him for years has been that he loses a lot of fumbles, though. Cousins has only lost 3 fumbles this year,
no,
which
is
good for
test,
him.
Yeah, because when the ball's out quickly, then you get that, right? But it's, you know, sometimes when he gets sacked, he has lost fumbles in the past.
Smaller hands.
Yeah, that was one of the smelling like cabbage. That's one of the things that people get upset about with him. This is where it gets really interesting to me, though, because again, you have to put aside your sensibilities about who's better career or in general. But
it's just how they've played.
Yeah, but in this moment, you see some of these rankings, you go, oh my God. You could even start with Cousins there, honestly.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill is 7, who moved up from the 8th spot. And guess who he moved past? He and Aaron Rodgers flipped spots.
You're crazy, right?
So Tannehill is 7 and Rodgers is 8. He comes down 14 games for Rodgers, 63%, 3,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, 2 picks. I'll say that watching Aaron Rodgers, this is not a Rodgers-esque year by any means. It's a lot of him waiting in the pocket and nobody getting open. He does not throw picks. 2 interceptions all season is amazing. He does occasionally throw 2-3 touchdowns in a game. He's got 24 for the year. He'll be up around 28 when it's all said and done. But he's going to throw for like 3,700, 3,800 yards.
Yeah, this is not the normal Rodgers bit, right? Which is, again, dance around, wait for someone to come open, throw a dart down the field, just have to carry the offense every play, every game. They got options now.
They round out the top 10 with Dak Prescott and Matt Ryan. And then outside of that, you got your Garoppolo-Wentz category. Of note, Kyler Murray up 5 spots to 13th was the highest riser with Haskins this week. But here's what I wanted to bring up. Dwayne Haskins climbed a handful of spots to number 27 on this list. He moved ahead of Drew Lock, who had a bad game in the snow. He moved ahead of Andy Dalton, who's down to 29th. He moved ahead of Devlin Hodges after 4 interceptions down to 30th. He was already ahead of David Blau, who moved up a spot to 31st. And now they have Will Greer because he's the starter for Carolina this week, mm-hmm. ranked 32. But Dwayne Haskins all the way up to 27th when they had him over week by week, you know, 31st or 32nd, depending on when you looked at this thing based on how he was playing. As he topped 250 passing for the first time, a part of their write-up here, they said, he earned his 2nd game with a positive completion percentage above expected. Just 2 times he's done that now with the Redskins in 8 games. Recorded his highest yards per attempt by nearly 3 full yards, 9.3. First time we've seen him with any kind of number that looks good there. Finished with his higher passer rating than any point in his career. 35 points better than 2nd best game he's had, all per next-gen stats.
It fits the eye test, doesn't it? I mean, some of the some people found, you know, I think it was Pro Football Focus or maybe a couple others, said, no, the game before he was actually pretty good, but we didn't really notice it. I think that's up for debate. This was one of those no-brainer. Nobody's saying this is the one you put, you know, on replay in the Hall of Fame when you walk in, but that looked like a good NFL quarterback playing good NFL football. That wasn't a transcendent performance, but it was good, and it was more than we'd seen, so the arrow's certainly trending up. Now, what's next, I think, because you finally had that milestone, but that fits the eye test to me, going back to this past week.
Definitely. Yeah, this was, and it's, I don't even think it's up for debate. Not only the best he's looked, it was the first time you can watch a game and you just see a NFL quarterback performance. Yes. There's no curve to grade on. There's no for a rookie ... Does not mean he was perfect. Obviously, he didn't make every throw. People still watch and they go, dude, he missed this. Watch an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees game, aside from Monday night.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't watch Monday night for Drew Brees.
Guys miss throws. It's not a perfect position. You're working back from a flawed job. This is not like something you or I do, and in our job, we work back from flaws as well. You're not going to have perfect segments, right? But there's a lot of people who their job is actually, it's binary. It's like you got it right or you got it wrong. Quarterbacking is every single play, you got a bunch of choices, and maybe there was a choice that was better, but you picked up 17 in a first down, so you'll take it.
The back half of this list, just you sort of anecdotally think about it, right? The back half of this list is jaw-dropping.
There are awful quarterbacks starting in the NFL right now.
And this is just sort of what's happening, right? But even guys that we count on as blue bloods, Derek Carr having a terrible year.
Would you say he's having a terrible year?
Let me rephrase. An unproductive year. Like a year that we thought maybe there's a bounce back. I look at Phil Rivers, a bad year. Then you start getting into the guys with Baker Mayfield will make a jump. 17 touches, 17 picks. Then you add in the fumbles lost.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a guy like Jacoby Brissett I thought was having a decent season, but there's just not that much production there. Trubisky.
He is who we thought he was. He's meh. Like I bet you, I'll pull up his numbers. I'll bet you he's got a pretty high quarterback rating. He doesn't turn the ball over that much. But what do you expect? I mean, he's an NC State mid-round guy who was a backup who came to Indy. Yeah, he's at 18-6 touchdowns to picks, 3-1, with a rating a little bit better than league average up in the 90s. I don't know. Maybe people thought he was better than that. I certainly didn't.
Well, yeah, at one point he was playing a little bit better than that. Like, he was doing some things. Not a world beater. This wasn't Drew Brees, but he was playing pretty well. They were having a couple dynamic plays on offense. He and T.Y. Hilton had a thing going. And then in this 1-6 stretch where they've been awful, he's gone into check down monster that's lucky to get 200 yards passing in a game.
College bowl season has begun today. Some bowls are actually underway this afternoon, which is one of the best times of the year because we're getting close to the holidays. There's going to be football on almost every hour of every day for a while. Bill Bender's going to join us at 1:30 to break down all the college bowls that matter. For Grant and Dan, you're listening to the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.